All right. Thank you again very much for having us in today. It's been a blessing to get to know you all and to be here in Fairfax, Virginia. And we're definitely grateful for each place we go. And it's been a blessing. And so, again, I'm Chad Hainline, and my wife, Sarah. And then these were three of my daughters, Pamela, Emily, Julianne. And we have twins there in the nursery, Isabel and David. So four girls, one boy, so pray for David. He has a rough life coming ahead. And so we're called to take the gospel to the South Sudanese people specifically and to reach people in South Sudan, but starting off there in Kenya. And I'm going to be working with a veteran missionary there in Kenya and kind of just adjusting to life there in Africa, first of all. But there's also a refugee camp in northern Kenya. And 200,000 people in the refugee camp, and we're excited to see what the Lord will do. And it's just a needy, needy place. I mean, just like the rest of this world. You know, there's not a place that's not needy. There's lost people everywhere we go. Really a great opportunity to reach people from all over Africa in that one location. And some people are there from countries that it's difficult to get into. And I think I mentioned this morning, 50,000 Somalian people in that refugee camp. And if you know much about Somalia, it's a country that's pretty well 100% Muslim. And there's a terrorist group in that country and very, very dangerous. But 50,000 Somalians right there in that one location in Kenya. And Kenya's pretty well a free country. You can evangelize. And so what an opportunity to reach that people right there in Kenya. And even, Lord willing, see them go back to their country and reach their own people with the gospel. And so that's some of our prayers. And we're excited to see, how the Lord will use us and what God will do. You know, we don't know, what God has in store, but excited to see how He'll work. And it's exciting to see how God's working right here and what the Lord's doing and the lighthouse that's been right here in Fairfax, Virginia. And pray that you'll continue on and stay faithful and continue to reach the lost right here. Well, tonight we're going to be in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter 3. So Jonah, chapter 3. Tonight we're going to be looking at a man, of course, Jonah, and I'm sure many of us more than likely know this story, this account about Jonah. And really, you think about it, Jonah was a man that was called to a difficult place. Really, in a sense, you can say a difficult country to get into, a closed country, some might say. Similar to someone maybe going into the Middle East or going to Somalia. And really, that's where God called him. He called him to go to Nineveh, a dangerous place for him. And so we're going to see here, we're going to read chapter 3, the whole chapter. It's just 10 verses. So Jonah chapter 3 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them. And he did it not. Back in the time of World War II, of course, well, right there after Pearl Harbor, the United States, of course, at that point, they were in the war. And one of the first really military engagement that they got involved in was, it's been known as the Doolittle Raiders. And basically the U.S. Went in and bombed Japan shortly after Pearl Harbor, just months after. And there's a young man, part of the Doolittle Raiders, whose name was Jacob DeShazer. And this young man, he had, joined the fight for, he was passionate, as many young men were, to join the fight against the Axis powers at that time. And so he was a part of these Doolittle Raiders. And of the group that went, there were about eight of them that were captured by the Japanese. And Jacob DeShazer was one of them. He was captured there by the Japanese and spent the rest of the war in prison camps there in Japan. And really just treated inhumanely. And at the time that he was in the military and at the time of the Doolittle Raiders, he wasn't a believer. His parents had been, and he knew the Bible, but he wasn't a believer himself. He was really running from God. But during his time in the prison camps, I believe providentially, he received a Bible to read in one of these prison camps. He started reading it, and he ended up, long story short, trusting Christ and becoming saved. And really, from that point on, his attitude changed. His attitude changed. Before then, he had a hatred, had a great hatred for the Japanese because of what they had done at Pearl Harbor, of course, but also what they were doing to him and his comrades that were imprisoned. And his attitude changed after he got saved. And from then on, he started to show kindness, started to show kindness to the Japanese captors, the prison guards, and started caring for them. And after he was released, after the war, got to come back, of course, to the United States. And after a process of time, he believed that God wanted him to go back. God wanted him to go back to Japan as a missionary to spread the gospel in Japan. Now, if you read his story and some of the things that he went through in those prison camps, no one would have blamed him for just continually hating the Japanese people. But God changed his heart. And now he had a love for the Japanese, and he went back. And he got to see people saved. People even that had been guards, some of his guards. He saw them trust Christ. And one might ask, how can someone like that, how can a man have a love for a people that did so many wicked things to him, were so did so much bad stuff to him? How could he love people? And really, it was because of God. Now, here in the book of Jonah, really we see kind of the opposite. We see Jonah has a hatred for these Ninevites. And he's supposed to be a prophet. He's a man of God. We don't know a whole lot about Jonah besides what's right here in these four chapters. In 2 Kings, we know that he's the son of Amittai. He's a prophet. And, of course, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus also referenced Jonah and compared himself being 3 days, 3 nights in the earth, in the grave, and to Jonah's being 3 days, 3 nights there in the belly of the fish. But otherwise, what we know about Jonah is right here in this little book, in these four chapters. And so there in chapter 1, we see that Jonah gets a call from God, really right from the beginning. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." So right there from the beginning, Jonah gets a call. He gets a call from God to go to this city, this place called Nineveh, a wicked city. It's one of the major cities of the Assyrian Empire at that time. And the Assyrian Empire were enemies of the Jews. They had tortured the Jews. They had had war with the Jews. They had really done a lot of wicked things towards God's people. And so, you know, the Jews had reason to not like the Ninevites, to not like the Assyrians. And Jonah, you know, being a Jew, he had reasons not to like the Ninevites. Now, we don't know, maybe he had family members that were even killed by the Assyrians. Or, you know, whatever the case, we know that Jonah hated them. He did not care for this people. And he got up and ran. He ran from God's call. Now also Jonah, you know, he probably was also afraid. Afraid for his life. Because again, he's a Jew. He's a Jew, and he's supposed to go to the city of Nineveh and preach there in the streets. Preach to the city that they're going to be destroyed. Now what's that going to do? In his mind. What's that going to do? He's probably thinking, that's going to get me killed. What Jew would go to this city, this Ninevite city, this place of Nineveh, and preach to it? Because I might be killed. But then also, you know, we know that Jonah knew his God. He knew God and was merciful. He knew God would show grace. What if some Ninevites turned to God? What if they actually repented? And Jonah, he didn't want to see anybody from Nineveh turn to God. He didn't want to see any of them repent. Because he knew if they repented, then God would show mercy. Because that's who God is. So we see that Jonah ran from God. He ran from God. He ran and went to Joppa, got on a ship, and he started sailing to Tarshish, basically the opposite direction, and running from God. So we know that, you know, the storm comes and the sailors that can't figure out why, and long story short, they figure out that it's Jonah, that it's the fact that the storm is there is because he is running from God. He's running from God. You know, it's amazing. You can really see Jonah's really hatred for this people because, you know, I believe he could have knelt down right there on the ship and repented. And God could have stilled the storm right there. But he told them to throw him overboard. You know, I believe Jonah, he would have rather died than go to that city. He would have rather died than preached this salvation message to this people of Nineveh. That's how great his hatred was. And so he gets thrown overboard. He's swallowed by this big fish. And that's where we see in chapter 2, Jonah prayed. He prayed unto God. He repented to God. He repented and God showed mercy to Jonah. Really, this whole book is really about God's grace. God's grace, not only to the Ninevites, but God's grace to his own called man, Jonah, to his prophet. God's grace. And God brought him out of that fish's belly, and that's where we see in chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Came to Jonah a second time. You know what? God's call didn't change. Though he tried to get away from God, though he tried to get away from God's call on him, his life didn't change. And God again came to him and said, go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now this time Jonah obeyed. Now, that doesn't mean his heart's right. We know from the rest of the story in chapter 4 that Jonah's heart still isn't right. His heart's not right before God. He still doesn't love this people. He still doesn't care for this people. He still wants to see them destroyed. But, you know, he's obeying God. He's doing what God is telling him to do, what God wants him to do. And so he goes. He goes to Nineveh, goes to that city, and he starts preaching to it. And we see really just a few words that's recorded here of Jonah's message. It says that he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And that's all that's recorded that he said. Now, whether he said more or not, we don't know. But really a simple message. And I think that goes to show that, you know, it's not about who's bringing the message or even the words that are said. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that works in people's hearts. It's God that works in people's lives. And God used a simple message to speak to this city, to get a hold of the hearts of this people, this wicked people. And the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh, they believed God, the Bible says, and proclaimed a fast. And it says they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And even to the king himself. The king of Nineveh says he arose and he put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. Now this was a great city, over 120,000 people. And this whole city, it says, from the greatest even to the least, were repenting and turning to God. We're repenting and turning to God. All this city. And what a revival that is. What preacher wouldn't love that? To preach really a simple message and to see God work in that way. To see 120,000 people, a whole city, repent. Sit in sackcloth and ashes and repent to God, asking for forgiveness of their sins. And you know, God's gracious message, His gracious message of judgment, moved among this people. And His merciful hand, He allowed this wicked people to escape His wrath. You know, because God loves all people. He loved this people. He cared for this people of Nineveh just as much as He cared for the Jewish people. He cared for this Ninevite people, the Assyrians. He loved them. He cared for them. He wanted them to repent. He wanted them to turn to Him. Now we see that the people, they put on sackcloth, which simply was a rough fabric, and it was worn as a sign of sorrow or a sign of submission. And so the people put on the sackcloth, and they're showing that their sorrow for their sin, their submission to God. And then when they sat in ashes, again, it symbolized their sorrow for their sins. And so for 40 days, you know, they put on sackcloth, submitting themselves to God, and sat in ashes, sorrowing, crying out to God, and fasted. The king proclaimed a fast. They fasted. The whole city fasted. And the Bible even says that the king even proclaimed, he said that, "But let man and beast cover with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." So even the animals, they even caused the animals, the flocks, the herds, the cattle, to fast. And they put sackcloth on them, on the animals themselves. Now, of course, we know, you know, animals can't repent and of sins and turn to God. But really, I think this is just really a sign of how repentant this people was. The fact that they would even cause their animals to fast. And being that day and time, animals really was their wealth, was what they had to as for wealth. And to cause their animals not to eat, right, that was a sacrifice. Because they could lose their animals. They'd be losing everything that they had, their whole livelihood. But they were so repentant to God that they even caused their animals, their beasts, their sheep, their cattle to fast, and they put sackcloth on them. They repented to God, and even in there in verse 9 it says, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from this fierce anger that we perish not?" And so they repented to God, and we see there in verse 10 that God, He saw their works. He saw that they repented. He saw that they had sorrow, that they were repentant. And yet because of that, instead of showing judgment, instead of judging them, God was instead able to show mercy. That's really what that means when it says God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Instead of doing this one thing, he turned and was able to show mercy. Simply because they repented. They repented towards God. Now again, you know, we see that Jonah is not pleased. His heart's not right. His heart's not right towards God, towards these people. As they're in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." It wasn't just a little bit angry, it wasn't just a little bit displeasing to him, but he was displeased exceedingly and very angry. And you know, I can't imagine, you know, a preacher preaching and say a whole congregation or a whole city gets saved and a preacher being mad about it. But that was the case with Jonah. He was mad that this people was repenting from their sins and turning to God. He was upset. That's the hatred that he had for this people. You know, God was still at work in Jonah's heart. He was still at work in his life. And Jonah went up and looked over the city and was just waiting, really just simply waiting for judgment to come, and seeing if God would show judgment. And many of you probably know that God caused a gourd to come up and shade Jonah, and then he caused a worm to come and eat that. And then Jonah was angry. Angry with God, angry that the gourd had died. And then in verse 10 of chapter 4, the Lord spoke to Jonah one last time. That's recorded here. It says, "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" And so, you know, God's saying, you know, you've had pity on this plant, on this gourd that gave you shade. You care more for that than you do for these people, than for the souls that are in this city. Shouldn't I spare this city of Nineveh, this people that is created in my image? Shouldn't I spare them? You have more pity on this plant than you do for people. You love this plant more than you do these people who I have created. And you know, this book seems to end kind of abruptly. We don't really know what happened. We don't know if Jonah got his heart right or not. But I think in a way, you know, we can finish the story in our own hearts, in our own lives. You know, what is our attitude towards people? How do we see people? You know, we may not show hatred like Jonah did, but do we truly show love to people? Do we truly care for people that as God cares for them? You know, just like Jacob de Schaeser, he was able to go back to Japan, go back to this country where he had a lot of bad memories, and even see people who had done horrible things to him. But God had changed his heart, and he had a love for them. You know, we need the same. We need to have love for people. We need to have mercy, just as God does. You know, in World War II, I wonder how many people, how many Christians were truly praying for, you know, say, Adolf Hitler. Praying that God would show Adolf Hitler mercy. Praying that God would send somebody his way to preach to him, to share with him the gospel. Or how many people, you know, after the 9/11 attacks in New York City, how many people were praying and prayed diligently for Osama bin Laden to be saved, for God to show him mercy? You know, of course, I know, you know, in our human minds, of course, we think, well, he doesn't deserve mercy. He needs judgment, and it was, you know, right for us to go over there to get Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. But, you know, God created those people. They're human beings just like us. God loves them just as much as He loves us. So why should we have a hatred for them? Why shouldn't we have love for them? Why shouldn't we pray that God would show them mercy? You know, we know that judgment is going to come. We know once someone dies, the Bible says, once someone dies, and if they die without Christ, they'll spend eternity in a place called hell. Judgment is coming upon them. So we don't have to wish it upon them. We don't have to pray that judgment will come quicker for them. But we need to be praying that God would show mercy. God would send people to them. That God would send people, someone, to spread the gospel amongst the terrorists. You know, I mentioned the country of Somalia, a terrorist group there, and pirates there along the coast of East Africa. But someone needs to go to them. They're human beings. They're made after God's image. God loves them as much as He loves you and me. And someone needs to tell them. Someone needs to tell them about Christ. And so, you know, we might be sitting and thinking, oh, well, I don't have this attitude like Jonah has, and if God wanted me to go, you know, I'll do it. I don't have that much of a hatred for somebody. But when we really stop and think about it and think about people and some of the wrongs that have been done to us and to us as a nation, and think about even our enemies and terrorist groups or Vladimir Putin or Kim Jong-un or, you know, people that we think of that are wicked men, you know, what is our attitude toward them? What is deep in our heart? You know, we need to look at that. God may not call us specifically to go there, but I believe He wants us to pray for them. And not pray for judgment upon them, but pray for mercy. Praying for mercy. That God would send mercy to them. God would send somebody to them to share the gospel with them. And you know, we never know. We never know. Just as Jonah, he went to the city of Nineveh, and the city turned to God. That could happen again. I believe that could happen again. It's the same God. You know, Nineveh was a city filled with people, just like we have today, people. It was filled with people, and there's cities filled with people that need the Lord. And there could be a city out there, even in the Middle East, that if someone were to go, you never know, a whole city could turn to Christ. Again, that to us, that could never happen. That's just something in the Bible. It's the same God. We serve the same God. He still loves people. He still works in people's hearts. He can still do it. He can still work. And I believe He wants to work. And He wants to use us. So God, you know, God sent Jonah to Nineveh because God, He loves all people. No matter how wicked they are, He loves all people. And God is still calling laborers. I believe He's still calling people. I believe He's calling people to go to some of these countries that are hard to get into, some of these countries that are dangerous. I don't think this story of Jonah was just a one-time thing where God just called Jonah to this dangerous place, this dangerous city where Jonah, I'm sure, thought he would be killed. He's calling people today. Right now, I believe He's calling people. Maybe here in this church, or maybe any other places, other churches around this nation, around this world. He's calling people, though, because He wants people to hear the gospel. He wants people to be saved. And that's not just here in America, but it's in South America. It's all over the Middle East. God loves people in Asia. He loves people all over Africa. It doesn't matter who they are, what they believe. God loves them. God loves them, He cares for them, and He is extending His hand of mercy. But what is our attitude? As people of God, when Jonah was a prophet, and you know, I don't think this Jonah was the only one that dealt with it. He wasn't the only one that dealt with this heart issue. But we all deal with it. We all deal with it. He had a love for his nation. He had a love for his people. And that's, I'm sure, what spurred some of the hatred towards Nineveh. And you know, as Americans, we love our country. We love our nation. And oftentimes it can cause us to have hatred towards other people who have wronged our nation. But we need to see people as God sees them. We need to see people as souls. We need to see people as people that are dying and souls that are dying and going to hell. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done. And again, God may not call you specifically to go to a place like that, to go to the Middle East, but we can pray. We can pray that God would send laborers. We can pray that laborers would be willing to go and not run from God's call. We can pray that laborers would go and somehow, in some way, only in God's power, reach the people that are part of ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Taliban or they're in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, or in Russia, or you know, wherever, name the place. We can still pray for them. But also, you know, there might be somebody that you know. Maybe at a job place, maybe at a grocery store or a neighbor who, maybe they don't like you. Maybe they have animosity towards the gospel and haven't shown kindness to you. Well, we can still show kindness to them. You can still love them. You can still care for them and pray for them. There's people right here, all around you, right here in Fairfax, Virginia. People who are in need of the gospel, who need Christ. There's people all around the world, from all around the world right here. Right here in America. People from all around the world that need the gospel. And we can share the gospel. And no matter what they look like, no matter where they are in life, what decisions they've made in life, they're people and God loves them. And, you know, we need to love them just as God does. We need to care for them and show love to them just as God cares for them and loves them. And so tonight, you know, let's do a search of our own hearts. Ask God to search your heart. Ask God to show you, you know, where your heart is and maybe some hidden animosity in your own heart and life. And ask God to forgive you for that. And make it a point, you know, to pray for people, to pray for the enemies of this country. You know, I hope you pray for our country. I hope you pray for our leaders. You know, our country needs prayer, that's for sure. Our leaders need prayer. But as you pray for our country, you know, pray for the enemies of this country too. Pray that God would show mercy. That He would show mercy to them. That He would send laborers. And then if God is calling you, don't run from God's call. I encourage you to be willing to go and maybe even risk your life. But it's worth it because it's the gospel. It's for the sake of the gospel. It's for the gospel's sake, for lifting up Christ. We ought to go and tell people because God loves all people. And we ought to love all people also. So, you know, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I can assure you that God loves you. I can assure you that He cares for you. He died for you. He gave His life for you. And He wants to show you mercy. And all you have to do is trust in Him today. All you have to do is repent of your sin and turn to Christ. And you can do that today. And as believers, let's show God's love to people. Let's pray for people. Let's take the gospel to people. Wherever we're at, no matter who they are. Father, I want to thank You so much for tonight. Thank you for Your goodness to us. Thank You for loving us, for dying for us, giving Your Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Thank You for Your Word and for this account about Jonah and how he ran from You and got away from Your calling in his life and really had a heart problem towards some people that You made, that You created. Help us as believers to love people as You love them and care for them and do our part in spreading the gospel. And Lord, no matter where we go, no matter who somebody is, spreading the gospel and praying for people earnestly that You would show mercy. And help us to be that light and be that witness that we need to be. And we love you. Pray you'd bless the rest of this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If we could stand with our heads bowed.